Then getting, having a very nice, fancy
wedding. And then we went up to summer to Provincetown for 6 weeks. We rented a house. We always did something, everything great style. No job, no training.
Your honeymoon, you rented a house.
Well, because it was September. Mm-hmm. And we rent subleased from a teacher who had to go back. Mm-hmm. And she had another month on her lease, so she was glad to get anybody to rent it.
Give me the date of your wedding.
Well, which Both. Do you take? July 12th, 1922, and September 3rd.
Did your parents approve of him?
Loved him, you know why? First of all, it was easier to approve of him. Look, but his father took my father up to the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And showed him this factory. My father had nothing to worry about. We've been working ever since.
That's wonderful. Herbert, tell me about your first job after you got married. Because you dropped out of Columbia.
Yes, right. In those days, you went to work. You went to work for Gimbel's, darling.
I went to work at Gimbel's department store in New York.
Selling clothing. What else?
Then I had worked in our retail stores in Pittsburgh when mm-hmm, I was going to mm-hmm. high school and college. Then during the day, I sold clothing for J.B. Simpson Company. It's a made-to-measure
mm-hmm.
company in New York City.
What we would call custom-made
custom,
clothing?
Custom made clothing.
Mm-hmm.
During the daytime. At night, I worked for the Royal Tailors in one of their stores.
Doing what?
Managing, as evening manager for the stores. Then I was sent to Philadelphia to open two stores.
For
Royal Tailors.
Mm-hmm.
Then my older brother left the firm, and left the family business in Pittsburgh. And I was brought, my family asked me to come back to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined Finkelhor Brothers until 19...
Well, we opened the school in 33, but you didn't come in until Nay was born in 35, full time. Up until then, you were still at the store.
Okay, now, Dorothy, right after you got married...
Advertising became my field. I started advertising
mm-hmm.
inside.
But this was on your own, with no formal education in advertising.
No, we took the international correspondence course,
mm-hmm.
which is an excellent training.
Okay, Dorothy, right after you got married, did you have a job?
Yes, I came to Pittsburgh. I worked for the little shop
around. Well, right after you got married, you lived in New York for a while.
Not long.
You managed.
Two or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
We were gone for 6 weeks. We came back to New York. We rented an apartment.
But you told me you went to work for Gimbel's.
That was her.
Yeah, but married. Right after you married, you went to work for Gimbel's?
No.
When we went back to
Yes. York. No, wait a minute. As soon as you went to work at Gimbel's, then you went back to, then we went back to Pittsburgh after 8 or 9 months.
And then you went back to New York and you
then
worked
we went
for Simpsons.
Back. That's right.
I see. Okay. All right. So go ahead, Dorothy.
So where am I?
After you came to Pittsburgh.
Oh, after we come to The first time, I worked for the little shop around the corner. I was the window trimmer and sales girl.
Where's that?
It was next to Rosenbaum's.
This is downtown.
On Liberty Avenue, yeah. On Stanwyck Street, really.
And that was the name of it, Little Shop Around the Corner.
It was, they sold antiques.
Who ran it?
Wildman's, W-I-L-D-M-A-N. They lived in Squirrel Hill. They were a German family.
Jewish?
Yep.
Okay.
And
They hired you with no experience?
That's right.
Okay.
They asked me to trim a window. I went in the window and trimmed.
She had quite a personality.
Yeah, she still does. And then?
And then we went to New York, and I was very ill.
Oh.
For 2 years. I had asthma,
mm-hmm.
which is an emotional...
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't work in New York at all.
Okay.
And then in 1926, we went to Philly when you opened up the stores. We
mm-hmm.
had a year in Philly.
And
you did well. Then Leonard married, and Dad asked you to come back. And we went to live with Mother Finkelhor.
So the second time, Which year did you come back to Pittsburgh?
1927, February.
Did you work outside the house then?
Yes. Took a job. Well, no, I went to work for the store, for Picklehore Brothers. I was the bookkeeper.
Had you had any bookkeeping training?
Well, doing for my father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I started at Duquesne in September 1927 as a night school student.
Mm-hmm.
In February, I took the full-day school course.
You got someone to handle your job in the morning.
Morning. I took the full night school course.
Mm-hmm.
I took the pre-course and the regular summer course and the post-course, and I had earned both my bachelor's and master's. And then the last year, Carol was born.
When did you graduate from Duquesne?
31.
With both a bachelor's and an MA?
Within 3 months.
Fantastic.
And then
did you ever get a degree?
An honorary degree. A university in Tennessee.
For having made a contribution to the island of Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
introducing the first adult education program the island had ever had.
Tell me about raising your children.
Well, Carol.
Carol?
Was born in 30.
Okay, she's my age. And
Joanne was born in 32.
Is Joanne married?
Oh, yes.
She has
three children. Blum, B-L-U-M.
Where does she live?
She lives in Pittsfield, Mass. They have a summer camp, children's summer camp.
And you have another child?
Naomi Armstrong.
Born?
35.
Mm-hmm. Where does she live?
She lives in Florida.
Okay. And I see here that you were pregnant with Carol when you were working on your BA and MA. That's quite a feat.
Yeah.
How did you manage? How did you raise your kids and manage to do it all?
It's a good question because I look around and I see that young people try to do everything and they can't. And they wear themselves out. It seemed like I did everything, but I didn't.
You have household help?
That's exactly what I meant. I was always aware that you couldn't do everything, and so I did what I did well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always had household help.
Mm-hmm.
If I couldn't afford, I had to be careful of food money. I had live-in outside help.
Okay.
I taught in the city high schools for 2 years as a substitute teacher.
What did you teach?
I was kept rather busy. 9 subjects, certified to teach German, English, economics, bookkeeping, shorthand, typewriting, whatever else goes in the history. And then I got fired.
What were the family hobbies? Is Carol here?
Yeah.
Okay. What were the family hobbies? Did you have any family
No.
hobbies? Well, what did the family do for vacation or recreation?
We all took off together.
Okay.
Yes.
What
you
did you
tell
do?
About it.
You tell about
well, we traveled. First, we at that time we had the school. We had when we had the
yeah. Well, I'm trying to find where we get to the school, and I think I'm going to have on page 7.
Right,
we're
going
to have to rush it up.
Yeah. Right, now, tell me how much. At what point do you want to stop? Because we can do it that way, dear. What do you want to?
No,
do?
I want to stop when I'm through, and I'm not. I'm only up to page 5. If you have the energy, maybe we can skip over a little bit.
We traveled extensively. We attended educational conventions. We always took the children
mm-hmm.
along.
Twice
with
a
us.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
And we always took a vacation before or after that. I am a great believer in letting go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did your children have any religious education?
Yeah, sure. They went to temple and was very poor. And
which temple? You mean you went to the
Rode
of Shalom?
That is...
To the religious school there?
Did they go there?
No, they didn't.
No. They did. What do you mean? Joey came from the University of Chicago to be confirmed. She went to the temple.
Went to Sunday school.
Sunday school.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure.
They didn't have any
Hebrew. And they were confirmed there.
Joanne was confirmed. I don't know that Carol was.
Carol?
Were you confirmed, honey?
No.
Joanne was.
And what about Naomi?
I went to Sunday school until the kids started climbing up.
What about May? Did she go there?
She was confirmed and Joey was confirmed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At Temple.
Okay. And were you were both members of Rosh Hashanah. Were you active in any of their...
No, not at all.
We were actually very busy with it.
Where did you make your home finally, let's say in the 30s? Where
well,
did you live?
In August of 29, we got a house.
Where?
At 1327 South Negley Avenue. And two sisters and a brother came to live with us and go to school here and mm-hmm. work.
You bought the house?
No.
No, rented.
No.
Oh, rented.
Yeah, we rented.
Okay. And I noticed you said August 1929 because we all know what happened in October of 1929.
That's right.
How did you weather the crash?
If you didn't have anything, you weathered the crash. The reason I had job teaching or had so many assignments was because I had so many subjects I could teach, in particular.
And I was working at Finkelhor Brothers.
And Herb had a salary.
Okay.
He was earning $35 a week, which was $1 million.
In those days, yes.
In those.
So you managed.
Yes.
The neighborhood you lived in is what we would now call the border of Squirrel Hill. It's really Shady Side.
No, not
1320 South Negley.
Near Whiteman Street, the school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you were near Whiteman School,
sure.
And that's Squirrel Hill.
That's right.
And what was the neighborhood like?
It was a nice neighborhood.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were you ever involved in organizations in the community?
Well, we were really tied up day and night
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
We were at school.
What about politics?
Well, we were Democrats. The only thing I ever did was to earn $5 as a watcher. But other than
you mean
that,
during elections?
During elections. Now, in school, we were very active. And this was a story I tell. When Truman was running against Dewey, I was the only Democrat, or at least the only vocal one. The,
mm-hmm.
the faculty were,
mm-hmm.
for the most part,
mm-hmm.
they're Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fact they were mostly non-Jews, the very small Jewish population. And so we're trying to elect a president, and you may recall that the decision was not made until 11 o'clock
yeah,
the next morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had said to the faculty that it was more important for the students to hear on the radio what was happening than go to class. So we had them all in the auditorium. And at 11:30, the announcement that Truman was elected. And then I forgot myself because I hadn't told people
mm-hmm.
my affiliation with the Democrats. And I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? Let's celebrate.
Still the same.
I let the cat out of the bag then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was truly all that I ever did about the election other than being very active in school
mm-hmm.
at elections.
Did prohibition affect you at all?
No. All I ever regretted was not knowing that Kennedy was going to start his family fortune by realizing what was going to happen when that prohibition was going to be repealed.
You're talking about Joe,
yeah.
Joseph Kennedy,
yeah,
and
yeah.
buying liquor.
And buying all the liquor.
Now we come to a very important aspect, and I'm sorry that we've left it for so long, but this is very important, and that's when you got the idea of starting your school, how you
well,
started
school. Well, it's come so fast, darling, you'll get it in no time.
Well, tell us.
All right.
Both
I,
of you, either.
All right. Do you want to
back
talk,
and
shall
forth,
I tell that part?
As you
She's
wish.
Sorry. All right.
As you wish.
I was let out of, I lost my job
uh-huh.
at the city school, with all other married women who had husbands who had jobs.
All substitute teachers.
Yes.
You were substituting.
Yes, I was substituting. And then we had two children. And we talked about it, and I said, do you mind if I work? In those days, you asked your husband permission. And he said, no, you obviously you liked it, but we can't afford a nurse. So I put an ad in the paper, and that's another thing which is part of my background. I don't think of money as being the most important element in pursuing an idea. And so I thought, now what could I give instead of money? Yeah, I could teach her shorthand, I could teach her typewriting, I can give her a room, I can give her food. Who am I giving that to? Registered nurses. You want your children well taken care of. In those days, in 1932, registered nurses were a dime a dozen because that was before the days of Blue Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we put an ad in the paper,
To live in, for registrars to live in.
Live in. 93 registered nurses were offered to work for nothing.
In exchange for room and board.
And they didn't care about the shorthand typewriting either. They needed a home.
Mm-hmm.
And so Herb is the one who said, why don't you open a school? And I laughed. I said, we're in the midst of a depression. There are 12 schools in the city and all they need is me. And then he said something which wives and husbands seldom say to one another. We criticize one another very well, but we actually do not compliment. And he gave me the world's best compliment. He said, you have the quality of helping people believe in themselves. If you were to tie that on to making a living, there would be a reason for having a school. With that in mind, I went to sleep. He read all the letters. And he said, the next morning, he said, here's a list of realtors. See if you can get one of them to give you space on a percentage basis. There were 9 on the list. I went to the 9th. I didn't want to go. It was raining. I'd been out doing it all day, talking to these men. They all thought I had a wonderful idea. And my idea was that these men who were on the corner selling the apples were the lawyers and the engineers and the architects.
The college graduates were those training.
They could get shorthand typewriting quickly. They could get into the office and be just a stenographer and be there when the thing opened up.
We had brought one of Dorothy's brothers to Pittsburgh who had finished high school and wasn't going anywhere.
So he
got him into a secretarial school where he could progress as fast as he wanted to with a 10-month course. He finished in 8 weeks. He got a job as secretary to the president of a company.
So that indicated to us that it could be done in less time. And that is what started what is now Point Park College.
What was the original 8
students,
name?
Business Training College, known as BTC.
And?
On Market and Fifth. On the 5th floor of a building. Right now there's a women's dress shop. In those days, there was an elevator going up there. They no longer have it.
It's interesting that you say that you aimed your school towards men rather than towards women.
We thought of the people who were at the corner, and actually, we didn't start a single man. Because
and
we got the idea
we started
the
3
How much money did you need to start the school?
Not a nickel.
There was a school that had failed.
And so there was furniture, and I negotiated buy that furniture for $200 when I have the money.
What I had said, look, if there are this many people who want school, you could charge $1 a week and get $90 a week.
Thinking that one teacher could handle 90 typewriters and all that. Well, of course, we learned very fast that we didn't do that.
And did you advertise?
Yes.
Where?
The Pittsburgh Press.
Classified, I believe.
And you had immediately?
8 students.
8 students. You started with 8 students.
It was $2
a week.
Were you the only teacher at first?
I was it. The teacher, the janitor, the
interviewer.
How much did you charge at the beginning?
Two and a half a week.
And how many hours did they go for that
From 9 to 5.
And they had 3 hours of homework.
And 3 hours of homework.
And these college people also, they were people, college graduates or people who had some kind of drop out of college. They said, had I worked as hard when I went to college, I could have finished college in half the time.
And this was what year? Can you tell me what year you started it?
February 6, 1933.
Mm-hmm. Tell me when it started really taking off.
Immediately. Because what I did was to counsel people. Who were the people who came in? One woman came in, she had a thumb on the left hand and no fingers. Even though she was a very good typist, I didn't have to teach her typing, but she felt like less a person. So my job with her is to help her accept herself. There was one woman whose husband walked out of the marriage. And so every lunch hour she'd go out, come back crying, because she saw a husband in the car that should have been hers. So I had to bring her back to why she was at school.
Then there was a girl with a master's degree in bridge bidding.
She was a first teacher.
Because she was a student too, I think.
Ever Jane. Well, then I needed a teacher. I had no money. So I put an ad in the paper. We'll teach shorthand and typewriting to a teacher, preferably one with a master's, who will teach English and math. This gal answered the ad. She came in and took the 3 month course. I then hired her at $30 a month. When she left, And when I offered her 30 a month, I said to her, Eva Jane, do you know that someday I think that I might even be able to pay you $150 a month? And that sounded like $2 billion. And that's the beginning of
this. How did Herb get involved in the school?
Within about a year, we had students from some of the best colleges in the country. And it was easy to place them because people were looking for a secretary for a bargain.
Did you have to get any kind of charter from the city or the state to call yourself a college?
No. In those days, you could do anything.
No. When did you incorporate? Or did you ever
incorporate? Oh, yes, sure, we incorporated. About 35.
Mm-hmm. When did you become associated with the college?
Well, our last baby.
I did the advertising for them.
And then our third child was born in 35, and he came in full-time.
You quit Finkelhor Brothers and came full-time. And I assume you expanded from the fifth floor of this building?
We were in that building for about 3 years and went to the Fulton building. You know where that is? It's a federal building now. We had the third floor of that building.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we had the first floor of the Coffin House.
Yes.
Well, the first...
I was sad when that went.
After the Fulton building, we went into the Moose building on Penn Avenue.
Didn't we get a Fulton building, too?
The Fulton building was sold to the federal government.
1945.
Then we went to the first floor of the Carlton House.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we bought the building the college is in now.
What year?
That we went there.
That you bought the building.
Did we ever figure out what? Well, the Carlton House was 26 years old last year, so. What, 1980, 26, what year is that? Do you have a pencil?
That's 1936?
No, it was after that.
It was 46 then.
46, yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
You bought that building? Was already a building or just a site where the Boyd Park is?
No, there was a building and it was a hardware store.
The Woodwell building, the hardware warehouse.
It wasn't 46 there. That we bought the building, no, that was more like 50.
And you still called it Business Training College, or you had a different
until
name?
1960, when it became a junior college, a nonprofit. We gave it to the community. We did not sell it. We gave it. It came to the courts only about 4 years ago, when they tried to put a $1 million tax bill on us, and they said that the Finkelhors made a profit.
You gave it to the community.
It's first junior college.
First junior college. It's seven judges in the Supreme Court of the state ruled in our favor, said it was an outright gift, no tax exemption.
We started, that 3 months course became a 6 months course and a 10 months course, then 2 year courses. We pioneered the first medical secretarial course, the first legal secretarial course in the country. Then we
first
took on
engineering
secretarial course in the country. By that time, we had to have good students. We were attracting students who could qualify for admission to college. Mm-hmm. We got many of the honor
So
grade.
You had to get some kind of accreditation.
Well,
when
did you get your accreditation? What year did you get your accreditation?
1962. Well, 1960, we were permitted to be a junior college. In 1962, we were fully accredited as a junior college. In 64, we were fully accredited as a four-year senior college.
Before that, we had state accreditation.
Yes, there was state for private
that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
In 1960, it was no longer private. It was a nonprofit school.
In fact, Dorothy was on the state board of
private schools.
Private schools.
For about 10 years.
Okay, when did you get state accreditation as private school?
Oh, that must have happened maybe around... They woke up about 1936, 1938, that business schools should be accredited.
Uh-huh,
I see. In fact, we pushed for it.
Yeah. When did you change the name to Point Park?
1960.
Okay. It was called Business Training College in 1960. In 1960, you gave it to the community.
Yeah.
Who renamed it Point Park?
We did. And I was...
There was a board of trustees.
Herb and Carol were on the board.
A board of trustees was selected.
Who chose the name?
We did.
On what basis?
Well, Point State Park.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I showed Carol, since she's learning the olive base, I showed her, did she tell you?
Yeah.
How you can take the Hebrew letters of Finkelhorn, you can find practically all of them in the equivalents of Point Park, because a pe and a fe are the same, and there's a nun, and a tet, and a resh, and a kuf. You got all these letters. You just don't have an L in Point Park. If you had an L, you could do the whole name. Okay, so you named it Point Park College. You still
Junior College.
Are you in any way still associated with it?
I'm on the board.
Oh.
Not the, what board am I on there?
No, you're not on the board.
Yes, I am.
Just the dance, the special.
No, I'm a, anyway, I'm not on the board of
college. She's the president emerita of the school.
Yeah, why, what, I don't know if you want to discuss this or
why
not,
did we
but
do
there
that?
Was a lot of, I came to Pittsburgh in 1963, so I was really not aware of what went on, but I know that there were things in the paper about Point Park College during the early years I was here.
Who succeeded me had, unfortunately, didn't handle the finances well. Not the service,
he expanded,
but he expanded too fast.
Did too many things.
And but so you were still the owners.
No,
we were not the owners. 60, we were not the owners.
Oh, so what made you decide to give it up?
Because the community colleges were coming in, and they were going to compete with us because our student body were college-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
We had left the thinking of a business school and put them on to a higher level.
Well, why couldn't you continue that way?
Because
of
the competition with colleges.
Yeah, well, couldn't you compete with them?
No.
Oh,
because,
okay.
No, because colleges give degrees.
Oh, and you couldn't
get in order to give degrees, you had to be a nonprofit institution.
That's right.
Okay, that's a very good answer. Okay. Has anybody done any history of Point Park College? Are there archives?
Don't you know?
No.
There's a 450-page doctoral dissertation done at PTC, Point Park.
Who did it?
In the library of Point Park. Was done by Dr., she got her doctorate as a result of it, Dr. Paula Byrne, B-E-R-N. You know her?
No.
Public
she
relations.
Is the head, she is the gal who's head of the, your new arena. What do you call it? Not the arena. The, what did you open up on 10th Street?
The auditorium. The,
you did.
The Civic Center.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dr.
Paula Byrne.
She did a dissertation on history of Point Park. I'm writing this down because, you know, obviously we don't have the time to tape the history. And if she did the research, if somebody wants to look
it
up,
that's it.
For which university?
It's at Pitt.
She did it for Pitt?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know. There are other universities in the city. Okay, so we can always go to the shelf at Hillman Library where they keep the dissertations. Which year did she do this in?
80.
And she interviewed you for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine.
And she interviewed a lot of people.
Yeah. Very good. It's good to know. How would you contrast the way you raised your children with the way you were raised?
Not much different.
Not much different.
Love.
Okay. Would you tell me your children's marriages and the names of your grandchildren?
Carol is Carol and Bill, and Chaney, and Lord.
I'm not sure how Chaney's name is spelled.
S-H-A-N-I.
S-H-A-N-I.
Chaney Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Who is she named? Is she named for anybody in the family?
Kind of Chaya Barth.
Oh, yeah. Chaya is whoever
Both,
was your...
Carol is Chaya.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Yes.
But who is Chaney named for?
Oh, Chaney...
Well, if it's Chaney Rebecca, it's not Chaney Rivka?
It's Carolyn.
When was Chaney born?
She was 12 in 81.
So she was born in 1969?
69.
Okay. And the other child's name is?
Lorne, L-O-R-N-E.
Lorne Hamish.
Hamish.
Oh, he sounds like he belongs out on the plains.
Yeah. Scott. And they named them after them.
Their Hebrew names were given to them at the community day school by their Hebrew teachers. And this is Shaney's Hebrew name.
Okay,
Yaffa
Rivka. Okay. Okay, so simple translation of the name. Shane is Yafet.
And
Shane,
they gave Lauren a Chaya. Chai.
Wait a minute, isn't Lauren a boy?
Yeah.
Chaim, you mean?
Chaim. Oh, and his name is Herschel Laser. Laser Herschel.
Laser Herschel, so we're...
We didn't give him your name, Dad.
No.
Oh, is your Hebrew name Laser?
Laser. Yeah. Herschel Laser.
So they wouldn't have the same name.
They used my initials.
I see. Okay. So they named him Chaim because Hamish sounds like Chaim. Okay. Okay, that's not... When was he born?
He was 11 in 81. So he was born in 60.
Okay.
In 70.
Okay. And your next daughter is Joanne?
Joanne.
And she's married
to Arthur Blum, B-L-U-M. Joanne has two N's in the knee in it.
Yeah, I did it.
And the oldest daughter is Sherry Rue, and she is 20.